earthquake, some flood damage, and then your wind hail deductible is at that 2% number. Page 14, it just talks about your crime coverage, that you've got an employee bond, a dishonesty bond that's a blanket, so it covers all the employees that handle money in the county for $100,000. The Inland Marine is an area where you guys have taken some equipment and either disposed of it or retired it, taken it out of commission, and so that number's down quite a bit as far as the value, so that's going to have some impact on the pricing as well. Couple things on page 16 is the liability limits. So right now you're at a $3 million per occurrence limit with a $4 million aggregate, and the umbrella sits on top of that. Right? And just keep that in mind, because we're going to talk about an option later that might shift some of that liability limit around. But what drives the liability is, like I said, is your exposures. You're up 23 law enforcement officers in the county. That's a 26% increase. 10% of other employees, that's another 3% increase. 26 new autos came on policy in the year. And then the budget's just grown. I mean, it's a $10 million increase in expenditures. And, you know, the county's growing, which is great. But they look at that as well with the losses to see what your overall risk exposure is. Okay. The automobile specifically, I did mention that we took the deductibles up. I think you were at, $1,000 deductible, which is pretty low. Took those to $2,500 on the smaller vehicles and $5,000 on the larger vehicles. And so some of those are just being paid. The smaller losses are being paid instead of hitting your loss ratio, which has made a big difference as well. Currently, your umbrella sits at $2 million. Like I said, sets on top of those other liability limits to give you a $5 million overall liability limit. So you can see the breakout there of the different lines that are underneath the umbrella. Cyber liability, we've talked about this several times. You have a cyber liability policy built in, but it's very low limits. You've got $100,000 for your privacy and security. That's that, you know, the third party type of things. And you've got $50,000 for breach response, and you got $50,000 for social engineering claims. Very small limits. It's better than not having anything, but it's pretty small. We did go get an option for $1 million limit. Honestly, it's pretty pricey, and there's some pretty stringent requirements and restrictions on it. County may not want to consider it, but we thought we'd put it out anyway just so you could see what it looks like. So then page 21 is the premium summary. The far right-hand column is where we're at now, previous year, this current year we're in. Our first renewal offer from Travelers came in at around 17%. We didn't like that, so we went back and asked them to get creative, and that's where we started talking about shifting some of the liability limits around. So it's always a little cheaper or less expensive to buy umbrella limit than it is the underlying limit. So what we've done is taken those $3 and $4 million limits that are the underlying, shifted those into the umbrella, dropped the limits down on the underlying, so it's $1 million, $2 million instead of $3 million, $4 million. But you actually would pick up $1 million in total limits to get to six if we went with the option that we're recommending. They did offer us three other options. One was to take the limits that I talked about. The other was to take higher deductibles on your liability. So going from a $10,000 deductible on the law enforcement legal to a $25,000 deductible, I believe. Those options are on the next page if you want to look at those. So option one is where that's keeping everything the same. Option two is what I talked about with the liability limits, shifting those from, let's say you look at the general liability, the fourth line down, you're at $3 million, $4 million. It's taking that to $1 million, $2 million. The legal, or law enforcement legal is going from $3 million to $1 million, and so on and so forth until you get to the umbrella. The umbrella is going from $2 million to $5 million. So you actually gain $1 million going from five to six, but the premium drops about $70,000 just because of the shifting of those limits. They also offered an option three. If you wanted to keep your limits the same, You could take higher deductibles. Those are the $25,000 deductibles. That keeps all the limits the same. Or they offered a combination. If you wanted to do both, then that gets the premium down where it's only about a $20,000 increase over last year. Mm-hmm. But that's taken some pretty significant deductible increases. Our recommendation is to take option two, shift the liability limits. It doesn't affect any of the deductibles. It doesn't affect the way it pays out. If you had a catastrophic claim, you'd still get the same payout structure. It's just shifting it to the different policies.
Option two is no more risk to the county, whereas options three and four require additional risk to the county. So there's a trade there, right? Mm-hmm. And in our view of this, it doesn't make it worth it based off of what we're seeing for losses. I wouldn't take that self-insurance, basically, for you guys to increase those deductibles. Option two, there's no additional risk to the county.
And it doesn't appear, I mean, there's not an exuberant amount of difference between option four compared to option two with the increased deductibles. I mean,
yeah,
a single deductible claim would make the difference in the cost of the overall coverage.
Correct. Yeah, the reward is not worth the risk there. We also include that cyber option that I mentioned. So for $1 million with a $5,000 deductible, $35,000 a year.
As far as benchmarking goes, we are seeing $1 million cyber limits are fairly norm. So the $50,000, $100,000 are fairly low for what we're seeing within the industry, within municipalities and private sector. $1 million is where the market is going for those options. So just so you have an option to look at. To Jeff's point, it is a little bit high premium. They're going to base that off of one, expenditures or revenues, and as well as what IT security pieces you will have in place currently. I know we've talked before about multi-factor authentication, and that's not been something that you all want it to move to. That is where majority of our cyber carriers are pushing clients to, is requiring that multi-factor authentication in order to even write the policy. So if we don't have that, then they're going to charge higher rates, and they're going to sublimit some of our coverages as well.
Can you give us an example of what $1 million loss is when it comes to cybersecurity?
A couple different things. It depends on where it hits. If it's just county information, you're talking mostly about records. So they're going to look at how many records you have, how many citizen records you have. So that a record in their eyes is the name, the Social Security number, date of birth, address, something like that. So tax records, employee health files, any employee personnel files, any of those records that they can get a hold of and take them out and use them, sell them, usually what they do. So then that puts those individuals' private information out into the world, and then they start getting hit with attacks or breaches or theft. And so that's how it adds up, because you get a large number of files that get out there, then they could get up to $1 million pretty quick. I think the average, they say now, is about $200 a record. So that's just you got to notify everybody that could have been potentially breached. You have to offer them credit repair or credit monitoring services. All that just adds up to about $200 per record that you have. So how many ever records you have in the county, just multiply that by 200. That could be significant.
I don't know that we have, I mean, I really don't know that we have that information online. I think that's why we've always not looked at a higher amount, is because we don't have computer automated water services or sewer services, or we don't have people's, as far as I know, Social Security numbers and that type of information.
Yeah.
Am I wrong, Nick? Do you know or Shane?
Not to my knowledge. Don may weigh into it more.
That goes the socials and stuff for the employees or through our benefits that you guys, the employee navigator. So it's not actually on our system.
And then how does that work as far as if any information that we do have for employees would be on the cloud?
Yeah.
would that company not have their own
liability
and their insurance? And I mean, who would be liable for that?
It goes back to the owner of the records. So there may be some subrogation, and at the end of the day, the insurance companies may piece out parts of it, but the owner of the files or owner of the records are the one ultimately responsible for it.
There is one department that has an extensive amount.
Okay.
Ideally, that's built into the contract that you have with that servicing company as well. Typically, there will be a layout of who's responsible for those records if a breach were to occur. So to Jeff's point, this does apply to not only resident records, but also employee records as well. Yes. In addition to, let's say, breach records, this can be a malicious actor coming in and taking hold of your system, so making it to where you all can't utilize your systems, right? Malware, something along those lines, extortion pieces. So this hits several different pieces, not just the release of information, but someone coming in and doing damage. A piece that we see a lot is the cyber crime portion. So someone posing as one of your vendors saying, hey, we need to change bank account information. Please send over your wire to us. And it's not. We are seeing a significant amount of claims from those type of social engineering or phishing emails right now. So having those checks and balances in place of what we do if we're going to change that banking information is key. But that's where we're seeing a lot of claims currently.
It is an AI to do it, and it looks real. I mean, they can get it to where it looks like it's coming from you. So I mean, it's more and more prevalent, as Ashley says, and we're seeing it a lot.
Not a requirement that Travelers is saying you must have this in order to move forward, just right. An option for you to also review and see.
Yeah. What do you typically see for the price for that? I mean, I know you said there's a lot of variables, but
the one that's quoted here currently is $35,000 annually. You all currently pay about $8,400 annually for your cyber premium. That's about $50,000. So both aren't required. If you opted for the $1 million limit, we obviously would remove the $1,500 that's on the current policy.
Thoughts?
I know in the past we've talked with IT. I think we probably need to talk with them again and see if they know of anything that we need to look at.
Do you need the decision on the cyber with the rest, or is that something?
No, it could be at any time. That can be totally separate. We did go out and do kind of a market survey, again, like we have done in the past, and we were looking at 30-40% increases with all the other carriers that we work with. So, I mean, we're asked the best option. If we do take option two, it gets it down to about a 9.5% increase, which is, I mean, I know it's an increase, but it's pretty good for what we're seeing in the marketplace.
What is it, MoFirm that? When are we able to go back to them?
We can go back to them. I think we're good to go back to them anytime. Okay. But their pricing is already way above where we're at now, and we have 4 MoPerm renewals so far this year for 12/31, and they've all been 30%.
Okay.
So they're taking some pretty good rate increases. I think that's really all we've kind of got.
When do you need an answer by? Probably today.
By the probably middle of the month. Okay. Whenever you guys are comfortable with it. I know Don has to do some stuff to get budget. Yeah. We don't have to have it until the 29th or 30th, but that's kind of pushing it when most of those carriers.
Are you guys good to make a decision on everything but the cybersecurity now?
I am.
Okay. Mr. Keyes?
Mm-hmm.
Option two?
Seems to be the one that has been recommended by the provider, Mr. Cornister and Ashley Cook.
No comment.
Do you know why we're giving him such a hard time?